Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And we'll start reading in verse number 28 as we continue a little series we started on Christ judged and Christ as judge. John chapter 18 then, and verse number 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us and teach us and guide us. Lord, help us to learn more of the truth that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here the world is judging Christ. And we see in verse number 28 that they lead Jesus now to Caiaphas, unto the hall of judgment. And the Jews now have turned this matter over to the Romans, and there's something interesting in this passage that I don't think we drew out last time, and let's try to do it this morning, and it's in verse number 30. And they answered him and said, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee. Then Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Notice how they answered. Judge him according to your law. They couldn't do that because he wasn't guilty of any infraction of the law. And so they simply answer Pilate, It isn't lawful for us to put any man to death. In other words, we're going to have you do that for us. We can't judge him according to our law because under our law, he's not a malefactor. And yet they have said he is a malefactor and they desire that he be put to death. A fine judgment that they've made. But there's coming that time when Christ will judge mankind. And last time we got together, we talked about the fact that Christ will judge the nations as nations. And in our Sunday school class this morning, I made a pretty good distinction between individuals and nations. And what Caiaphas is doing here is speaking for the nation. And we're going to find out now the people are going to have something to say too. And so we find out that the Sanhedrin is governing indeed with the consent of the governed. But nonetheless, Christ will judge the nations. He'll divide the sheep nations from the goat nations, and the sheep nations will come in to the millennial kingdom, and as far as we know, into the ages of the ages. But he'll also judge the living and the dead as individuals. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll start reading in verse number 1. Paul giving a charge to Timothy here. And he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and be turned unto fables. Well, Paul here uses the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to judge the quick and the dead as a basis for his instruction to young Timothy. Since the Lord is going to judge individuals as individuals, Paul is telling young Timothy they need to have an opportunity to hear the gospel, because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People cannot come to Christ outside the hearing of the word of God. And so Paul is telling Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. He's saying, make sure that people hear the word of God, and not just when it's convenient. It's a wonderful thing that Paul tells Timothy in verse number 2 to be instant in season and out of season. We might look at that and say, well, I wonder what that means. But if you look at the history of mankind, spiritual history, from the cross until now, you know that there's been times in human history when the gospel has been more readily accepted than at other times. We call them revivals, and we would say, well, that's in season then. Well, what's out of season? Well, that's probably the general case of the human race, and that's when the human race doesn't want to hear the gospel. And so Paul is telling Timothy, be sure that you do this. Always reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Whether they're receiving it or whether they're not receiving it, the message is always the same. And what is it? Because when we say that Christ is going to judge, as Paul has told Timothy in verse number 1, we need to understand what the basis of that judgment is. Like, what's he going to judge? Is this going to be a beauty pageant? Is it going to be a NASCAR race? No. It's going to be whether people have everlasting life or everlasting punishment. And so Paul is telling young Timothy, preach the word. That's the first thing. First things first, preach the word. Don't build an empire. Don't build buildings. Don't build denominations. Don't provide places of entertainment. Don't introduce fables. Preach the word. Timothy, take the word of God, this book, and preach that to the exclusion of everything else. And as Paul has given this instruction to Timothy, he's given it as an instruction to anyone who would preach the word of God. Now, we have certain classes of people today, completely unscriptural, as a matter of fact, anti-scriptural, that we call clergy. And these are the people that we have assigned to take care of the ministry, as it's called. And since the Bible is there, and it's an artifact that has to be dealt with somehow, we'll minimize it and give a little 5 or 10 minute sermonette every time that the congregation gets together, and spend the rest of the time doing something else, mostly cheerleading and, yes, putting out fables that people want to hear. But we could throw in a verse of scripture here and there. Paul is telling Timothy, no, don't do that, because the basis of judgment for those that hear you will be on what they did with the word of God and not anything else. If they want to go pound nails for Habitat for Humanity, that's good. They can do that. If they want to give money to their favorite charity, that's good. They can do that. If they want to do all of the things that the cheerleaders in the ministry are out there trying to implore them to do, they can do that. But it's not going to make any difference on the judgment of Christ on them as individuals. And so, Timothy, preach the word. Faith comes by hearing, not by doing. And so he lays this out to be the primary thing, and this is what church is supposed to be. When the congregation comes together, when the ecclesia gathers itself together, they're gathering themselves together to have the word of God preached. If you want to sing a few songs, that's good. If the few songs are spiritual songs, that's even better, but preach the word. Not only preach the word, but Timothy, be in season and out of season. You know, it's really easy to float downstream, but it takes a lot of effort and dedication to start swimming upstream against the current, especially if it's a riptide. Well, unfortunately, in the spiritual history of the human race, it's mostly out of season. Very seldom are there seasons when people actually actively want to hear the word of God. What can we make of this? Well, one of the things that could be made of this is that every time the congregation comes together, even if the congregation doesn't want to hear it, you still preach the word of God and you still preach the truth. Because now you've discharged your duty, and now the ball's in their court. What they do with it is up to them. Well, it's easy to preach to the amen corner. But when you get in front of a hostile crowd, and I don't really know anything about this, never having been in a place like that, but when you get in front of a hostile crowd, and you start preaching the word of God, and they don't like it, and there's smoke rolling out of their ears, and they're trying to figure out how they can get rid of you by whatever means is at hand, you still preach the word. And what's the worst they can do to you? It's the same thing as the best they can do to you. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, because this is going to be the basis of the judgment. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Well, I mentioned out of season. These things are almost always out of season. Reprove. Man, it's not very popular today when preachers are reproving a society, especially the one that they live in, for murdering babies in the womb. We've got mainline denominations saying that abortion is okay, or at least casting a blind eye to it. Christians are the ones that are supposed to be reproving those acts of evil. Now, that's a social ill. But it goes much deeper than that. Christians are also to reprove false doctrine. And that's the very thing that is made out of this passage of Scripture here. Yes, it's right to reprove those that approve of abortion, and it's right to rebuke them harshly. But the main danger, Paul points out here, is that there's going to come a time that they won't endure sound doctrine. In other words, it's going to be out of season. That's the time that things become difficult. Verse number 3, for the time will come, and it has come, and it's here, and it's been here for a long time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What does that mean? It means, Timothy, if you're going to preach the truth, they are going to get rid of you. They are not going to tolerate you reproving them and rebuking them and exhorting them. They will get rid of you. And that's fine, because that's on them. You keep doing what's right, and if they get rid of you, it's their problem, not yours. You don't change your message and you don't change your approach just because somebody doesn't like it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll want to get rid of you, Timothy, but they'll replace you with somebody that will prophesy unto them smooth things. They'll get somebody standing in the pulpit that will tell them what they want to hear, that will put a halo on their lust. That's okay. That's on them. Paul is telling Timothy, you do what you're supposed to do, and God will take care of the rest. If they don't want to endure sound doctrine, that's on them. But if you don't preach the sound doctrine, then it's on you. And everybody's sitting here thinking, I'm glad I'm not a preacher. Oh, yes, you are. Is your circle of friends getting too big? Is your social calendar getting too crowded? Are you overwhelmed when it's time to write Christmas cards? I have an idea.
Preach the word.
Yeah, I have an idea. No, you don't do it for that purpose. Of course not. But it's a natural result of standing for the truth. It is not going to be popularly received. But there's more. Verse number 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That reflects back to verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Isn't it something how people can be so comfortable and they can get together in a pep rally and hear messages from the Old Testament, not the spiritual content, but Jehu driving his chariot and Moses leading the children of Israel through the wilderness and all of those stories, and yeah, we're going to cheer all that stuff. But start preaching the gospel to them out of the New Testament and see what effect that has. It's in the same book, you know. And start taking the Old Testament and showing people how that all of the Old Testament speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Imagine somebody in the halls of the Sanhedrin that we just got done with talking about in our Sunday school class. Suppose somebody had stood up in there and said, hey, wait a minute. Don't you understand that you are actually acting out the Passover if you kill Jesus? Don't you understand that you as the high priest, you moron, are actually putting yourself in the place of the high priest on the Day of Atonement? What do you suppose would have happened to that character? They'd have crucified him first. No, they didn't want to endure sound doctrine. The wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. That's the kind of doctrine that they don't want to hear. You preach the love of Jesus and make it something other than the true love of Jesus, oh, they'll eat that up. You talk about a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and everybody gets all sentimental and teary-eyed over that, yeah, they'll eat that up. But when you start preaching all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and there's none righteous, no, not one, and all our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God, that's sound doctrine, and they won't endure that, guaranteed. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, well-paid teachers. Verse number 5, but watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Now, why would Paul be telling Timothy this? I thought after you got saved, all your troubles were over. Everything was all peaches and cream. Hey, what's this affliction stuff? Paul is telling Timothy they're not going to like it if you preach the word, if you do what I told you to do, Timothy, if you do what the Spirit tells you to do, if you do what Christ tells you to do, humanity's not going to like it. But don't forget your fishing. When you toss your line in the water, that lake's full of fish. But you're just looking for one. Isn't that something? Are you going to stop fishing because all the other fish don't like it? And by the way, if any of them have been hooked, they don't like it. If any of them have a vision of a frying pan, they don't like it. Yeah, most of the world is going to resist. But there's a bunch of them out there whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world that need to hear this message. And are you going to let all the rest of the fish in the lake overrule the hook you just threw in? Think about it, Timothy. But watch thou in all things. Isn't it something how the world tries to sneak things past Christians? The world with its siren call tries to change the language and frame evil things in a good context, put a halo on it, make it sound like it's not really so bad. The person's not a drunkard. He's an alcoholic. He's not committing adultery. He's just having an affair. He's not a sodomite. He's just gay. Watch thou in all things. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Address the issues of the day. Don't shrink away from those issues. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, Timothy was a withdrawn sort. He was probably a very good teacher, but not a very good what you would call soul winner or street preacher. But yet Paul tells him, just do the work of an evangelist. You don't have to have the gift of evangelism to do the work of an evangelist. I think everybody here understands that. How many people in here that are not professional carpenters that have ever hit their thumb with a hammer? Well, that can happen too. It's a burning experience. It's burned right into your memory. Exactly. We all understand that. And most Christians would say, well, I don't feel like I'm gifted as an evangelist. I have this other gift. But you could still do the work of an evangelist. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy here. You can bring the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to everybody that you meet. Now, if they need something that's beyond the basics, well, you send them to somebody that is gifted to teach. But we can all play that part. Do the work of an evangelist. And so, Christ has been judged, and now we find out that Christ is going to judge, and this is the most important thing because it deals with the living and the dead. And what's the basis of the judgment? What they did with Jesus Christ. What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Most people are not going to go to church so that they can hear the gospel message. But that doesn't mean they aren't curious about it. And if they heard it, they might take it and run with it and believe it and be saved. Churches don't exactly have a very good reputation in society today, do they? They're really houses of ill repute. Christ judged. Christ as judge. Oh, when the shoe is on the other foot. Doesn't that make all the difference? Let's pray.